Let us pause now for a time of prayer. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical and surprising love. Come to us through your holy word, and let us hear what you are saying to us this day. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one, and asked to have the murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." A responsive reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 4. "Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer."
How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord."
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
Our next reading is from 1 John chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 7. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What will we be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is righteous, just as he is righteous." Our last reading is from Luke 24, verses 36 to 48. "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I changed one word in the sermon title this morning. It's not significant. I vacillated back and forth all week between unbelievable good news and unimaginable good news. And as I was sitting down to write the sermon, I started and typed at the top of the page, "Unimaginably good news." So when you hear "unimaginably," just think "unbelievable," and we'll all be okay. And the sermon and the title will match. As people of faith, as people who hear these stories that we've just heard read for us in Scripture time and again, the benefactors of centuries of Christian witness, it's hard for us to believe sometimes, I think, that there was even a time when the story about the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not known. Right? We just, for many of us, we grew up with it. It is so much a part of it that we can't even imagine not knowing about Jesus. But we know that it's true historically, right? If we are really able to pull ourselves out of the story and just think about the facts that are out there, we know that there was a time in the history of the world when Jesus was not there. And for those first disciples of Jesus, in those early years of the Christian faith, it was their mission to speak the story of the good news of Jesus into the lives of people in such a way that they discovered that the story of the gospel was true. That's why we find in each of the gospels these accounts of things that the disciples experienced in those days between Jesus' resurrection on the first Easter morning. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't called Easter, the first Easter morning. That came later, right? We just always do it. And when Jesus was taken up into heaven, that period in between that we move through and we remember in these 50 days of Easter, between Easter and Ascension, each of the gospel writers seeks to give us some story to make sense the resurrection of Jesus. Each of the gospel writers attempts to convey the truth about Jesus' resurrection and these interactions that Jesus has with his disciples. To those who heard these stories of the life of Jesus and who have believed them, these stories have been unimaginably good news. But for others, these tales were really nothing more than news or unimaginable. Then, like today, there are various responses to the stories of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Down through the ages, there have been those who have heard the story of Jesus. They believe that this man was some ancient Middle Eastern man who did indeed exist. And yet their lives were not changed by the news. It's like when we sit down on any evening at the close of the day or after supper and we watch the news on television. It's a summary of the facts and the events that have happened during that day. But the news usually doesn't change our lives in any real way. It's like Sergeant Joe Friday said on the TV show Dragnet many years ago, "All we want are the facts, ma'am." And indeed, as Christians, we are indebted to those who reported just the facts. There is this man, two men actually, they share a name, like my father and I. They were father and son, Pliny the Elder and, you guessed it, Pliny the Younger. They were Roman historians, and they are perhaps the best known and most reliable sources of information about the life of Jesus outside of the early Christian tradition. Pliny, Elder and Younger, record for us the reality about Jesus' life. And yet, neither of the Plinys was moved to believe. They only knew the fact. For others, the story of the resurrection of Jesus was simply unimaginable. The idea of a creating and loving God is beyond their comprehension or does not fit into their worldview. For in these days, people will claim that they believe in science, not religion, or that they believe in the power of self to make change, and cannot be bothered with such a fanciful tale as Jesus the Christ. Many years ago, I encountered a man who wondered whether the Bible wasn't written in the 19th century as a way to establish Victorian morals in its time. An interesting thesis, but I'm not sure it holds much water. Likewise, in the gospel reading that we heard this morning, there was that peculiar little episode that happens between Jesus and the disciples, right? Jesus asks the disciples, and says to his disciples, "Look at my hands, look at my feet. Do you have fish? Give me something to eat." It's a weird discussion. Except, it had a purpose to it. We are told that Jesus asks them for fish so that he can eat, so that they would not think that perhaps it was a ghost. So that the story of Jesus' resurrection bodily from the dead would not seem so unimaginable that they could not comprehend it. But Jesus points to his very body, the very body that he hung upon the cross, and says, "Look at the hands, look at the feet. This is flesh and blood, and it can eat." For us today, there are many who continue to think that perhaps the Christian faith is nothing more than an unimaginable hope. They cannot think that what Jesus came to offer is actually for them. I dare say it's safe to make the assertion that if you drive along any highway in Ontario, you will eventually come across a white painted cross in the ditch, adorned with flowers. The spot of some tragic event in the life of an individual and in the lives of those who knew them. And from the midst of their tragedy and their deep sorrow, friends or family long for the message of the cross, and they erect this memory cross for their friend. Not just, but they need more than that too. Not just their roadside cross, but the cross of Jesus. They long to know how this life is not the end, but that those who they love will live on in their memories, yes, but more importantly, in some deeper and more eternal way. They long to know that we are loved by and live in God. They long for an unimaginable message in the life of Jesus, that it would be true, that we are not just ghosts in the age to come, but that we are given the gift of eternal life. And then indeed there are those who hear the story of Jesus and who having heard it, know it to be true and life-changing. People who have discovered not simply news, not just the fact about Jesus, nor unimaginable tales, things that they've heard but they just can't believe, regardless of how wonderful they may seem, but people who find in the stories of Scripture the unimaginable good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is news that gives us hope beyond hoping, a connection to those things that we find all around us in the natural world and which connect us to the eternal, small e, and the eternal, large e, the creating and loving God. The word that gets translated in Scripture as good news, found so often in the Gospels, is the Greek word evangelion. It is also the word from which we get evangel, and it means the true message of the gospel. The true message of the gospel. All of those things, as Jesus says in that text that Brian read for us, all of those things that you saw and heard. You witnessed the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how Christ has opened the Scriptures and given to his people a new understanding of what it means to be the children of God. Message, hope, a future. And then Jesus says these words. You have heard of the resurrection. You have had the Scriptures open to you. Now you are witnesses. Witnesses to all that you have seen and heard. Those are the words for the church too, as Luke draws his gospel toward the close. That we who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are invited in to sit with Jesus on the shore as he eats the fish and teaches the Scriptures, are called to be witnesses and to share with others the good news of the resurrection. Like those early Christian writers in the Gospels, it is ours to share the good news and to look for ways that the good news of Jesus Christ in Scripture touches the lives of people in such a way that they come away, that they are moved away from the understanding that these stories are unbelievable or that these stories are just news, but that these stories are the life-giving, life-changing love of God made known to us in Jesus Christ. During these 50 days of Easter, we celebrate that Christ has come and opened to us both the Scriptures, but in his resurrection also the gates of heaven. And we are invited to come in and to worship and praise our God. Thanks be to God this day for the unimaginably good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.